If we haven't met before, my name is Bill. I'm one of the pastors here at Mosaic. For the past few weeks, we've been going through a series called Science and Faith, kind of erasing the verses, because a lot of times it feels like there's a little bit of a war between science and faith. I don't think there has to be. I wanted to just kind of start off. I love baby dedications. I love it because in a year's time, you're not going to remember the music. In a year's time, you're not going to remember this sermon that I'm preaching, but you're going to remember this moment. It's one of those moments in times that is just frozen. I feel like I don't have enough of those moments in my life. I crave those moments, but it seems like a lot of my life gets lost in routine. I used to work at a grocery store, and I remember I would always joke, every day felt like Groundhog Day. Every day was the same. Same routine. And it was a joke until I really thought about it, and 2 years in, I looked back and I thought, I don't really remember much of my work the last 2 years. And it kind of scared me, kind of freaked me out. What am I doing with my life? Because our brains forget routine. Think about it. Do you really remember brushing your teeth this morning? I hope you remember to brush your teeth. But do you remember actually brushing your teeth? Do you remember your daily drive to work every single day? We don't, because our brains are actually programmed to forget these things. But we as creatures, we crave to experience time. So the question was, what is the thing that is most valuable to you? What's your most valuable possession? I would argue that we all have the same thing. And that thing is time. Time is our most valuable possession. Without time, we don't exist. Without time, nothing exists. Without time, we have nothing. So how do we experience time? You know, time, it's more valuable than money. We can overeat, we can overspend, but we can't overlive. So how are we spending our time? Where for you are those frozen moments, or are you kind of lost in the routine of life? But time is pretty weird. Right? If we really think about it, in our culture, we say time flies, we say waste time, kill time, time is money, we try to save time. When we're young, time makes us bigger, stronger, smarter. When we hit 30, time makes us bigger in different ways. Eventually, time makes us weaker. Eventually, time, we lose our health, we lose our hair, it gets gray, we lose our sight, we lose our hearing. And time eventually begins to take away. Until eventually time is like a circle where we end up where we started. Dust. I love what it says in the book of Psalm, chapter 90, verse 12. It says, teach us to number the days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Because time seems to move really, really fast at times, and it moves really, really slow others. You talk to a professional baseball player who's on a hit streak. For him, a 90-mile-an-hour fastball feels like a beach ball coming his way. Right? I remember when I went to college, my freshman year, I felt like it went by in a blink of an eye. And life seems to speed up every year after that more and more and more. It just goes faster. When we're with good friends, time flies by. But time seems to go really, really slow other times. The last 5 minutes before summer vacation in school, right? Just waiting for that bell to ring. Seems like the time goes backwards. When you're at the DMV, right? Maybe last week's sermon on math, right? Someone agreed. Yeah, quadratic equations in church, really? Oh, man. But isn't it weird that, like, it seems like the good moments in life seem to speed up really, really fast, but the bad moments or the boring moments seem to be the ones that go by really, really slow? See, I just wanted you guys to appreciate your life last week and talk about math the whole time. But I feel like we're so addicted to time going fast. Everything in our culture, everything in our rhythms of life is about how do we speed up time. We're afraid of boredom, you know? Especially with our phones. This week, I decided to download a game on my phone. I never download games on my phone, but I thought, oh, what the heck, I'll try it out, you know? So I downloaded Plants vs. Zombies. Anyone ever play that game? Please don't download it. It's really addicting because I download this game and I put my son down for a nap. And so he put him down for a nap. I start playing this dumb game. And then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, he starts crying. He's like, "Dad, I'm awake." And I think to myself, like, how is he awake already? What's going on? And it had been 2 hours. Right? 2 hours of my life wasted being a zombie playing Plants vs. Zombies. Right? And did you know the thing about phones? I have a lot of anxiety when it comes to my phone. When I get a text message or an email or my phone buzzes in my pocket, my heart beats really fast. I get a little stressed out. I'm always like, oh no, what did I forget? But I was looking into it this week. There's an actual thing that all of us experience every time we get notified. Every time our phone rings or every time we get a text message or a Facebook or Instagram alert, you hold your breath for an average of 2 seconds. They call it screen apnea. And you have attentional deafness. So for the first 4 seconds after that moment occurs and you look at your phone, you can't hear anything for about 4 seconds. I wonder, like, are we spending our life holding our breath? Are we deaf to the world around us? How do we really appreciate the time that we have? How do we learn to appreciate the time that we've been given? When was the last time that beauty took your breath away and not your phone? I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. And if you have a copy of the scriptures, we're going to kind of park here the rest of the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. It says, when anything is exposed to light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. And I feel like that's the first step. We need to expose this for the reality and the truth that it is. Time is our most valuable resource in our society, and it seems like we're trying to spend it as quickly as possible. How do we stop spending, and how do we start really appreciating it? I feel like this next verse really begins that journey. It says, "Awake, O sleeper." I love that line. It kind of sounds like a band name, doesn't it? "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up, right? Wake up from the dead. Stop being a zombie playing your zombie video games. Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. That feels kind of harsh, doesn't it? The days are evil. The word that Paul ends up using, because this book is written in Greek, is paneros, which is derived from the word paros, which means pain, laborious, troublesome. So the days are painful, laborious, troublesome. So we have to, but also what we have to understand about Greek culture is they believed the Greek god Cronus was the one who controlled the days. The next day is coming because Cronus is allowing it to happen. That's where we get our word chronology from. Tomorrow is happening because Cronus is bringing it to you. The thing about Cronus, though, is he will eventually take everything you love, right? He will take your house. He will take your car. He will take you. He will take your children. Eventually, time will take everything that you love. And so the Greeks, they even had this image of Cronus that they would put in paintings and sculptures. And I thought this was appropriate for baby dedication day, but he'd be eating babies. The reason they do this is because Cronus, time, will eventually take everything. And it feels very violent, and it should feel violent, because time can be evil at times. Time can feel like it's taking everything we love. Time can feel like that thing that is just uncontrollable, that we cannot stop. And it's pretty morbid, but even with science is science has really always told us this. That eventually, that the universe, when the universe started out, the universe was entirely ordered, but it's heading towards disorder. The universe is heading towards entropy, it's called, right? And so eventually, things won't exist anymore. And so it's kind of like this match, right? So this match is ordered. It's wood, and it's sulfur, right? If I leave this outside, if I leave this in the rain, it's probably going to eventually dissolve. It's going to eventually kind of disappear. It's going to head towards disorder. It's going to head towards something else. Or you can do that something else with a match. You can light it, and it begins to smoke, right? You're not destroying the atoms, but they're becoming something else. The particles are becoming something else because they're ordered, but they're heading towards disorder, right? Did you guys know that you can see ghosts? Right? I like that look in your eyes. Curious skepticism, right? We can see ghosts. If you want to see ghosts, all you have to do is go out at night and look into the sky. Go out at night and look into the sky, because if this is us, this is Earth, right? I don't know what that is, but that's Earth, right? And let's say this is a star somewhere really, really far away. So this is a picture from the Hubble telescope. If you see here, this is a picture of the moon, and there's a little red box at the bottom corner, and that's what they took a picture of. They took a picture of blackness next to the moon. It's probably hard to see, but when the Hubble telescope looked into the blackness, what they saw was this. In that tiny little square, there's that many galaxies and stars that they found. That's pretty awesome. The thing about it is, most of those galaxies are billions and billions of light years away. So let's say the stars we're looking at are 10 billion light years away. If those things are 10 billion light years away, they say our sun, our star that gives us light and energy, has a life total of about 10 billion years. Right? And if it took light from these galaxies and these stars 10 billion years to reach our eyes, we're probably looking at stars that no longer exist. Which is kind of trippy to think about, isn't it? That the light that we see took so long to get to Earth, that if you were actually there right now, they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't exist. Most of them. And I know that's kind of crazy and weird to think about, right? And so the astronomer William Herschel, he said, a sky full of ghosts. That's what we're looking at. A sky full of ghosts. And light. Light's pretty crazy. Takes, the speed of light is 671 million, approximately. 671 million miles per hour. And yet it still takes 10 billion years to get to us. Pretty far away. You're never going to be able to get there, probably. We're never really fully going to know, but it's really, really far away. And so for us, it's this idea of time. It's kind of trippy. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like, what's sort of going on? And so for a long time, many of us have heard of Isaac Newton, right? And so Isaac Newton, he saw space as like a container, and that light traveled the speed of infinity. And then Einstein came along, and Einstein said, actually, light doesn't move at that speed. Light moves at this speed, about 671 million miles per hour. But then also what Einstein began to prove was that space, it wasn't just empty. Like, we could see the blackness, and it's not just empty, but space is like more of like a fabric. So it's like if you stretch out a piece of fabric, I have some pictures. This is more of what space is like. And so space is kind of like a fabric, and we have these planets that are warping space. And that's why we experience gravity, is this warping of space. I think I have a couple other pictures and then a really cool video. So this would be Earth, right? And a satellite flying around Earth. So this is Earth's, what it's doing, it's warping space. And then we have this video, which is kind of cool. This kind of goes on. Oh, there was not supposed to be audio. It's coming through the projector. That's funny. But this is the sun, it warps it, and the planets and the moon, they all warp space. But what Einstein also figured out is that it's not just space, it's also time. So that it's warping space, but it's also warping time, which is kind of crazy and kind of cool, right? And so what Einstein figured out was, if this is time and this is space, right? You guys can cut off the video now. That audio is really distracting me. But what he discovered was that fabric, it's not just space, right? And it's time, and he called it space-time, right? It's not just the fabric of space, it's the fabric of space-time. And what he figured out is the faster you're going, the slower time goes for you. The faster you're going, the slower time goes. Because if you have nothing but time, so if you're going the speed of light, right, your time is basically zero because you're going through space very, very quickly. Your time is basically zero. But then if you're not moving at all, time is moving very, very quickly for you. And so Einstein began to prove that time is actually different for everyone. Time is different for me and it's different for you. And so he had this theory and he called it time dilation. And so what they did was to test this theory was they stuck an atomic clock on an airplane and kept one on the ground and they flew it around the world and the clocks were different. And then even when they launched GPS satellites into space, at first they didn't incorporate Einstein's equations in there because really, like, is it going to be different? Because in our brains and our minds, we experience time as 1 second is 1 second for everyone, right? And then when they sent these GPS satellites up, because they have a less gravitational pull than we do on this Earth, their clocks ended up ticking slower than ours because space-time wasn't being warped as much as it is for us. Isn't that weird? Like, that's crazy. That doesn't comprehend in our brains because that doesn't make any sense at all. But a big part of that is if the speed of light is 671 million miles per hour and time basically isn't happening at that point, I mean, the fastest we're going is what? 600 miles an hour? Right? So for us, going 600 miles an hour on an airplane, we're not going to experience this as much. It's going to be a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a second. It's just not going to happen. But this is what's true in our universe. And this is what Einstein proved to us. And it is weird and it is trippy and it is a little bit crazy. But to me, and even weirder is what I was reading was they were saying that time is a lot like a loaf of bread, right? That time has a beginning and time will actually also have an end. But a slice of time for me is very different than a slice of time for you. And so time is actually what science says, it's a dimension. We live in three dimensions and time is a dimension on top of our dimension. Which can feel very weird, but here's the cool thing about that. Because I feel like the Newtonian idea that time just exists the same for everyone. Time is one of those things, those stable structures in all the universe. So 1 second for us here is the same as 1 second if you lived on the sun, or 1 second if you lived on Jupiter. But what Einstein is saying, that's not true because the gravitational poles are different. So even like if you go to a black hole, which would really, really pull on the gravity, it's basically infinite gravity. And so it's infinite gravity, and so it's warping space-time so much that time basically stops. But the amazing thing about that is when you have a Newtonian idea of time is that time is just a force that just is the same everywhere. It almost feels like, as opposed to Einstein, who says time is actually created. Time was created at the beginning of creation. Time is a created dimension, right? That as a person of faith, God created this thing called time. And that space-time, it warps and it shifts and it changes. And that is amazing. That is phenomenal. Because the universe we live in is wild and unpredictable and mysterious, and it doesn't always make sense at times. Right? And how do we as people of faith, how do we make the most of our time? How do we make the most of this gift that we've been given of time? Because more likely than not, you know, the weird thing about a black hole is, and this is the way it works, so if you were able to fly into or around a black hole, let's say, and come back, for you, time is always going to be feel like 1 second. But maybe for everyone else, it was 25,000 years, right? So for us, what we do know is this. Time for us is limited. Time for us is fleeting. Time for us isn't necessarily going to slow down, but relative to everything else around us, it may or may not. We probably won't ever experience these things because you'd have to be going really, really fast, or you'd have to experience gravity at such a severe level that you wouldn't survive. Did anyone see that? What was that Matthew McConaughey movie that came out? Interstellar. Did anyone see Interstellar? Oh, a lot of us. Sweet. But yeah, it's that whole scene where, you know, they went to that world and they're like, what, 15 minutes here or a few hours here is going to be 15 years. And then they end up being gone for 23 years. And the guy's like, I just thought you were never going to come back. And that is actual, real, true science from that movie. That isn't science fiction. That isn't what they did with those equations are true and they're accurate. And it's insane and it's crazy. And how do we make the most of this time that we've been given? How do we not let it just slip away? How do we not let it become this area of evil in our lives, this area where we say, I'm kind of giving up on this? And I think if we jump back to that verse in Ephesians, it tells us a lot about it. It says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So how do we do it? How do we appreciate the time that we have here, right? Because I think it's easy to even read that verse and you hear one thing, you hear, do not get drunk, right? Was that my whole thing? Is like, just don't get drunk, and that's how you experience time. No, but what it's saying is, what it said at the beginning, it said, wake up. Wake up. We're asleep. We're those that are dead. We're zombies who are just existing in life, right? Don't waste your life away. Don't be drunk through life. Don't be passed out through life. Wake up. Experience the time that you have here and now. Because if you're not careful, the days can be evil. The days can take everything from you. Time can take everything from you. All you have is right here and now is you have this moment. Because the past is gone and the future is somewhere else. But all we have is right now, this present. Did you know that neuroscience is telling us that a negative thought or something like fear or anger, those thoughts and those feelings and those emotions, they stick to our brain like Velcro. The second those pop in our heads, they stick. No matter what, they just stick. But a positive, good, true, beautiful thought is like Teflon. It just skirts off our brain as easy as water on a nonstick pan. And in order to hold on to that good, beautiful, true thought, we need to contemplate it for up to 15 seconds minimum. We need to think about that thing for 15 seconds in order for our brain to absorb that thing that is good and true. It's really, really easy to be a pessimist. It's really, really easy to focus on so much negativity in our lives, and it's really, really, really hard to focus on the good and the true and the beautiful. Because the days, they are evil. They are slipping away. Time will take everything if we let us. And our weapon is not a time machine. Our weapon is actually, believe it or not, contemplation. So yesterday, I was putting the finishing touches on this message, and I had a really, like, weird, hard, awful week. And I was really struggling with this message, kind of putting the pieces together. It's like, how do you talk about these crazy scientific concepts from someone who doesn't fully understand it totally himself and communicate it in like 10 minutes to you guys? It was really difficult, and I was getting really frustrated and angry. And so I kind of decided, okay, I'm just going to lay down and I'm going to rest my brain for a bit. And so I'm laying in my bed, and all of a sudden I hear this pitter-patter of feet come into my room. And I look up, and my son Manny had just woken up from a nap. And he jumps on the bed, and he kind of nuzzles into my chest. And then he looks at me in the eyes. You know how kids, they look at you from like 1 inch away? And you go cross-eyed trying to look at him? And he says, Daddy, Mommy and I, we're going to the zoo. Do you want to come with us? And in that moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like the most beautiful moment. And it's like, how do I tell him no? I got so much things I need to get done. I have so much that I have to do. I have to impress you guys with how knowledgeable I am about science, right? I have to do all these things. How do I tell him no? And then what flashed in my head was images of him as a teenager who wants nothing to do with me, right? Images of him going off to college, images of him getting married and living somewhere far away from us. And time in the future can feel like an enemy. And all I have is right now. All I have is that moment. All I can do is experience life in that moment and allow that to be a Teflon experience that I remember forever. And so I look Manny deep in his little brown eyes and I say, heck yeah, we can go to the zoo, right? We're going to feed the goats and go on pony rides and get ice cream and hold tarantulas. Did we do that at the Lincoln Zoo? It's awesome, right? Heck yeah, we're going to the zoo. Because all I have is that moment with him, right? All I have is that choice. Because I feel like in that experience, if I would have said no, that would have become something that could have been a source of negativity in my mind or his mind. But I knew that was a moment that I had to choose to say yes to my son. And I hope that's a moment that he remembers forever. See, that was a moment for me that just took my breath away. And when was the last time for you something beautiful took your breath away instead of your phone or your work or your stress? See, here's the thing, is when we actually slow down and we begin to contemplate our moments and contemplate our time, and when we don't just exist to go through life as quickly as possible and to avoid being bored, and when we just sit back and we realize all these gifts that we've been given, when we live in the moment, I truly believe like that's where we find God. You know, I'm not a person of faith because I believe Jesus existed 2,000 years ago. I'm not a person of faith because I believe that God came in the flesh and died on a cross for me 2,000 years ago. I'm a person of faith because I believe God is changing my life here and now today. That God and Christ can have a relationship with us right now. And it's only in the moments that we slow down that we hear the voice of God. It's only in those moments where we slow down and we say, God, I'm going to listen. It's only in those moments that we slow down and we thank God for all these gifts that we've been given. But that's hard. And the reason why it's hard is because we got all this Teflon on our brains, right? And when we slow down and when we think and when we contemplate, what's the first thing that's going to pop in our heads? Do you think it's going to be the positive thought or the negative thought? Do you think it's going to be the good or the pain? Yeah, it's going to be those broken relationships, those failed jobs. It's going to be all that junk that begins to pop up first. And we got to deal with that. And it's really, really hard to deal with that. And we can only do it through deep contemplation and slowing down. So my challenge to you here now today is don't just hurry through life. Slow down. Experience life here and now today. That God can change your life. That God is present. That God is here. And that God created this thing called time. And God lives outside of time. But God also acts in our lives, in the present, within time, here and now, today, in this moment, in this room. So for us, my prayer is that this week and today, we begin to look for those Teflon moments, those moments where we can choose to say yes to the present, say yes to something beautiful, say yes to something true, and that we can slow down and rather than feeling like God is this genie who grants us our wishes or makes our future easier, but that God is God, and we can just sit and contemplate who he is, what he has done, and what Christ has done in our lives. I was reading this book this week called Water to Wine by a guy named Brian Zond. And in the book, he began to talk about the art of contemplative prayer, that just praying not as an agenda of these are all the things I want, God, but just praying these prayers that have been prayed for thousands of years. Praying these prayers that have been praying for thousands of years that is really just a declaration of who God is. So I'm reading this book and I'm getting up to these chapters and he says, these are the prayers that I pray. And he has about 10, 15 pages of the prayers that he's like, this is what I pray in the morning. And so I get to those pages. I'm like, oh yeah, that's cute. Yep, yep. And I kind of just skipped over all the pages, skimmed them very quickly. And then something in my brain said, you missed the point. You missed the point. The point is to slow down, to contemplate, to pray through these things. And I did, and it changed me. It changed something in my heart and in my soul. And in that moment, I was able to be present with God there. Not praying with all these wants or these needs or these stresses, which are not bad things to pray for. But in that moment, I was able to just sit and say, God, this is who you are. And I'm amazed and astounded by that. And so as we go this week, I wonder if what we don't need in our life is more busyness, more craziness, more work. What we need is actually moments where we can slow down, moments where we can pause, moments where we can be grateful, and moments just to contemplate life, who we are, why we're here, and how God is involved and can be involved in our life. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we are here right now. And God, this gift that you gave us, this gift of time, a lot of times, if we're honest, it can feel like a burden. Because the people we love eventually won't be with us anymore, and that's hard to think about. The jobs that we love, the homes that we love, the cars that we love, eventually they will just be dust again. And God, it's hard to think about that future, but I pray that we will be rooted and planted here and now today in this room, at the Trade Center, part of our church, to the left and to the right, the people who are our spiritual family. And God, we can just say, thank you. Thank you for creating this infinitely vast universe. Thank you for creating this dimension called time that is weird. Thank you for Albert Einstein figuring out the science behind time. And God, our prayer is that we won't waste our time. We won't miss out on the time that we have here and now. But that we will live in the moment and in the present because that's all we have right now. And we thank you that when we embrace you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, we get to be in a relationship with you and a friendship with you forever. And you invite us into eternity. And God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for the future, but we also pray that we can be planted and rooted in the present. Bring to mind all those good, true, amazing thoughts, all those memories, all those times that are frozen, that are great and awesome and true and beautiful. God, I pray that for everyone in the room, every single one of us have these Velcro hurts and pains in our mind, and I pray that you begin to just peel those things away. I pray that we confess our sins to you so you can peel that Velcro away. We confess the sins that were caused upon us and we learn to forgive so that Velcro can be turned away. And God, help our brains to absorb the good and the true so that it's not so much Teflon but a sponge. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice 2,000 years ago. And thank you, Jesus, that you are here today. And you are offering this relationship, this healing, this friendship right now. It's in your name we pray. Amen.